Hi, it's Bob from Royal Spa. Soaking in a hot tub full of Epsom salts is the absolute best way to minimize everyday aches and pains. And we know all about Epsom salts at Royal Spa. Royal Spa hot tubs are the only hot tubs on the market that can safely and effectively use Epsom salts. Made right here in Indiana, Royal Spa hot tubs are the highest quality hot tubs on the market. Visit any one of our three Indianapolis locations or visit royalspa.com.
Ah, Royal Spa.
Good morning. It is Monday, April 22nd, 5 minutes after 11. You're listening to Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. So let's talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene for a moment, shall we?
Hey, yeah.
On Sunday, she said that the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, betrayed Republican voters after they approved that new aid for Ukraine.
Yep.
And now, once again, she is threatening to call a vote for him to vacate if he doesn't resign.
Good for her. Yeah. I hope they throw him out.
Thomas Massey has co-sponsored a bill along with a guy, Paul Gozer from Arizona.
Yeah, Gozer the Gozerian. You remember him from Ghostbusters?
Sure.
Remember, he was the villain in the first Ghostbusters.
Paul Gozer
the Gozerian.
She's saying that Mike Johnson's speakership is over and he needs to do the right thing and resign and allow us all to move forward in a controlled process.
So this is what's fascinating to me. Tony, and he's doubled, quadrupled, whatever, down on this. He thinks it's just fine to keep guys in there that lie to the people of this country. And I don't understand this. And maybe some point, if he ever comes in here and shows up here to work one day, we'll have him on and we'll talk about it.
Is this because he's saying they need to take small steps and you believe one giant leap?
Well, there are no small steps, though. I mean, how many of these people do we put in there and there's never any steps? I just want people to tell the truth. I don't look at it as steps, Casey.
Mm-hmm.
I just look at it as people to hold to what they promised me, period. That's all I want. And this is what blows my mind is that so many people are so okay with being lied to over and over and over and over and over again. I don't want the Republicans to do anything other than what they promised me they were going to do in 2022, which was to get federal spending under control and hold Joe Biden accountable. Those were the two things that they ran on, the two primary things that they ran on. Now, there were other things, but the only things that I expect them to follow through on were the federal spending and holding Biden accountable. They've done neither of them.
Yeah. How long has it been, by the way? We spent a great deal of time talking about James Comer and his investigation into Biden and, you know, the classified documents and the big guy and the 10% and the phone calls and the meetings at the restaurant. And where are they with that?
Yeah, boy, isn't that a good question, Casey? Probably the same place they are with getting federal spending under control, as in it ain't happening.
Yeah.
So I don't understand why the first time it was Gates, now it's going to be Marjorie Taylor Greene. Why the people who are holding the elected people accountable for the promises that they made? Look, Kevin McCarthy made those promises because he wanted to be speaker. No one held a gun to his head. Nobody forced him to be speaker. He wanted to be speaker. Certain safeguards were put in place by people who actually give a damn about this country, who knew you can't. They knew it. They knew you could not trust the Republicans to follow through because they've got a 30-year track record of not following through on promises. Kevin McCarthy betrayed those promises. They threw him out. All of a sudden, oh, Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene, they're the bad guys here.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a second. The representatives who hold the representatives accountable are the bad guys? Fast forward to Mike Johnson. He made promises. He has not followed through on those promises. Yet here we are again, where we have people judging the people who are simply holding the people accountable. What's the difference if Hakeem Jeffries were the speaker? What?
Yeah.
What he would have given $99 billion in aid? Like
right.
Why would I care if the Republicans are in charge of the Congress or not? They don't follow through on anything. And here's how you know. Here's how you know what the Republicans did was wrong. Let's just look at the state of Indiana. Who were the three Republicans who voted against? Jim Banks?
Mm-hmm.
Jim Baird, and Victoria Spartz.
All three people who are looking for their job.
Correct.
To continue or be advanced, even.
The ones who aren't being challenged, Yakim and Pence and Bouchon and professional office hopper Aaron Houchin, how did they vote? The ones who know what the people want, the ones who know what's right, and the ones who need the support of the people, especially Baird and Spartz, because they're up for House reelection. Banks, because they kicked Rust off the ballot, doesn't have any competition. He's going to walk into that Senate seat. They did the opposite of what they've been doing. Baird and Spartz have previously been all Ukraine all the time people. But because now it's go season, in terms of the election.
Well, they can turn around and say, we voted no for that funding.
They're telling you what it, the people think is right. Those votes told you what the people think are right. Now, the thing about Sparks and the thing about Baird, if you vote for them, as soon as they get back in there, which based on other districts
they're
are drawn.
They're going to flip.
Exactly. So if you vote for Sparks, you vote for Baird, you might as well just be voting. In the case of Baird, nobody believes he's even going to finish his term. Nobody even believes he's going to finish his term because that's how Republicans operate now. Everybody knows that Jim Baird wants his loser kid, who's a terrible state rep right now, to have that seat. And nobody believes Baird is actually going to finish the term. He's going to quit in the middle so that they can handpick his son to be the state rep. That's what most people believe. If you vote for Jim Baird, you are going to vote for more Ukraine because everything Jim Baird has been until this vote was spend money, give money away. And they knew when he needs votes, he did the right thing. This is why I'm sick of it, Casey. Mm-hmm. This is why I'm sick of it. This is why I've had enough of it. This is why I'm out on the overwhelming majority of these Republicans, and I don't care who's in charge anymore because they never follow through. They just lie.
So there's some people in Congress that are calling the Marjorie Taylor Greens and Matt Gaetz, they're the fringe part of the Republican Party. And this rep from Texas, he had some not so nice things to say about them.
He will survive. Look, the House is a rough and rowdy place, but Mike Johnson is going to be just fine. I served 20 years in the military. It's my absolute honor to be in Congress, but I served with some real scumbags. Look, Matt Gaetz, he paid minors to have sex with him at drug parties. Bob Good endorsed my opponent, a known neo-Nazi. These people used to walk around with white hoods at night. Now they're walking around with white hoods in the daytime.
Things are getting ugly.
Well, but this is what this guy thinks. And if I were Matt Gaetz, I'd totally sue this guy. But yeah, that's a choice for Matt Gaetz. But this is what the establishment thinks of you if you're a conservative. This is what the establishment thinks of you if you're a Trump person. He's telling you 100-plus Republicans gave billions of dollars, almost $100 billion, to foreign governments and didn't do anything for you on the border. This has been going on for a year and a half now. They're telling you. The people who object to this, the people, is Large Marge a little wacky? Yeah. Is Matt Gaetz a little wacky? Yeah. But they're the people who are actually trying to follow through on the promises that Kevin McCarthy made in the fall of 2022, that Mike Johnson made just in the past couple months.
Yeah.
And yet they're the ones who are demonized. The promise means nothing to these Republicans. The promise means nothing to these people in Congress. Their word means zero. And if you look at how hated we are, Casey. We are hated on this show by those people down the street from us because we dare to say you are not following through on your word. Our whole show is about that. Our whole show is about how politicians lie to you and don't follow through. And instead of raising their hand and going, you know what? You're right. We haven't done our part. We really need to step up and follow through on the promises we made. They'll tell people how horrible we are. This is what this always is. It's not the people who broke the promise that are the problem to the people in the government. It's the people who call out the people who didn't follow through on their word.
I think the surprising thing about that rep, Tony Gonzalez, is that he's raging on these people, but yet he's from Texas. You would think that he would want something for his state to protect the southern border before he starts defending the $95 billion aid package to other countries.
But it tells you who they fear, and this is the conversation. And I don't know how many times people have to be hit between the head with this before they get it through their skulls. The elected people do not fear us. Our country was founded on the idea that the people who were elected, first of all, they went begrudgingly. The idea of the career politician never dawned on the overwhelming majority of these people. They were successful, regular people. They went out of a sense of obligation. They went and did the thing, and then they came home. But while they were there, they feared the people back home. They would not dare not represent the values or the desires of their district and the betterment of the country because of what would face them when they came back home. These people no longer fear us. Not only do they not fear us, they don't respect us. And so an elected official looks at it and goes, well, I have two options. I can vote in the best interest of my constituency, or I can vote in the best interest of party leadership and the donors and lobbyists that control party leadership. Well, if you look at the track record, there's a far more likelihood that you're going to fall in a challenge or a primary or whatever if you buck the party leadership than if you buck the people. So ultimately, it kind of rests on us. Like if Jim Baird wins 55% of the vote or more, it's a re-endorsement of him stabbing people in the back for the past 6 years. Now, We're telling you there's a viable candidate running. He's running ads on WIBC. Mm-hmm. Not that that's the absolute standard for being viable or not. But Charles Buchwalter has raised money. He's done events. He's out in public. His signs are everywhere. You have a viable, normal option, a decorated member of the military running against Jim Baird. If you choose to vote for Jim Baird, you're voting for more of the same crap. You're telling these people you do not need to be respected. The same thing with Victoria Spartz. How unprofessional was she last year? Basically, this bizarro...
I don't quit.
Yes, on Tony Katz. And if you vote to send her back, you're saying it doesn't matter. Your word doesn't matter. You can tell everybody you're quitting and then not quit for no reason whatsoever other than conveniently you need 6 years to get into that pension plan in Congress. Mm-hmm. If you vote for these people who disrespect you, they will keep disrespecting you. How more clear they can make it to you, I don't know.
It is Kendall and Casey. It's 93 WIBC. And you've been preaching for a long time since I've known you about the door knockers and 3 points. And we got a good one.
Yeah, we found one. This guy has to be a listener of this show because he did it perfect. And so we have found a candidate who totally gets how you're supposed to do a door knocker, Casey.
We're going to talk about that coming up.
Positive stuff. I love this.
All right. It's Kendall and Casey. It's 93 WIBC.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
See.
Tired of hearing Rob talk about all the bad news? Time to find your happy place. Turn that frown upside down. It's time for Sh*ing Rainbows with Rob.
Well, for all the railing against politicians you do, it's time to say something nice about someone. I went and got the mail yesterday, and I saw this hanging on my door. And at first, I gave it a cursory glance and then put it in the stack with everything else. And then I went, wait a minute. I got to check that out again. That's not bad.
Yeah, see?
Not bad at
all. See? It's eye-catchy when look. There are many people who strongly dislike me in this universe. Mm. But even those who strongly dislike me can look at my track record and tell you, I know about a couple things. Mm-hmm. One is how to communicate with people.
Yeah.
And two, how to win at the ballot box.
Yeah.
Okay. And they largely merge together. And so you brought this mail, it's not a mailer, it's a door hanger in. Mm-hmm. And I saw this and said, this is perfect.
Yeah.
Like this person is doing, if you want to see the perfect door hanger on how you actually should do one of these. This guy is...
He nailed it.
Yeah, he's very
good. He got
it. So this guy's name is Stephen Whitmer, and he's running in House District 97.
Yeah.
Now, I'm even more impressed when I looked this guy up because he's running, I think, unopposed. I don't think he has a primary competitor. At least the site I looked at didn't show a primary competitor. Mm-hmm. So I think he's doing this of his own volition to get his name out. He's in Moed is your...
He's my current rep.
Right.
Which is interesting because Justin has actually knocked on my door and we've had a conversation about this, who's a Democrat in the district.
Right.
But this guy is Republican running against it.
Right. And so he's kind of, I guess, hitting the shoe leather early to get his name out there or whatever. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I'm going to hold this up for the people who can see this on the YouTube feed. So you will see this about what we're about to talk about here. One of the things we've talked about with the door knockers, Casey, or the campaign literature. Too cluttered, too wordy, too many things.
Yep.
And you have, in the world of the door hanger, Casey, you have 15 seconds.
Well, he had less than that with me. And I'll tell you, the thing that caught my eye was, you know, it was on my door. So I just grabbed it and I put it in the stack. And when I had put it down on the stack, I noticed there was 1, 2, 3 points.
Yes.
And I went, wait a minute.
Yes.
And so I had to go back and look at it and read the 3 points.
Exactly. And it's 3 points. Okay. And we've always talked about on the door hanger. If you're a candidate, please listen to this. You have the time from the person, because nobody cares, right? Mm-hmm. You have the time from the person grabs the thing off the door to the moment they put it in the trash.
Right.
To make
he
your
had
point.
The stairs.
Exactly. And so you have basically
flight of stairs.
three points or 4 points at the most for people to remember before they put your thing in the trash. So don't put 30 things on. pick three things. Your campaign is going to sink or swim with those three things anyway. And messaging for a campaign should always be about what you think the three most important things are. He did this, Casey.
And what was his first
point? Number one. Yes, finally.
Property taxes.
We have found somebody who is willing to do it. Property taxes. Look, right here. The tax burden on homeowners has gotten extreme and is only getting worse. I will support efforts to put a cap on increases in home assessments when no improvements were made and increase eligibility for property tax deductions. Okay, boom. Now, when you think of Stephen Whitmer, what are you going to think about? Well, none of these other jokers down the street from us care at all about people, but maybe Stephen Whitmer will do something about property taxes.
He's going to fight for it.
Yes, this is perfect. This is absolutely how it should. The other two are public safety and infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And the back of
Well, you know, based on his district, infrastructure... I know what he's talking about because there's potholes everywhere.
And that's what I'm saying. So he's tapped into a local issue. The top issue is a state issue. Mm-hmm. Obviously affects people in the district. The middle issue is a local issue, is a citywide issue, public safety. Hits people in his district. Mm-hmm. And the third is infrastructure, mm-hmm. which having driven to your house numerous times, clearly an issue.
It's a problem.
This is a great mailer. Now, is this guy going to win the election? Don't know. It's a Democrat district. Justin Moed is a pretty well-liked guy. But now, the only thing I would say is... Now, the front of it is his photo and whatever, and that's fine, I guess. I would do it a little different. But this is great. This is the way the mailer is supposed to look. Somebody listened, Casey. Mm-hmm. There's no way that's a coincidence that this person did what Rob Kendall would deem the absolutely most perfect mailer in the entire, or door hanger, rather, known to man.
Stephen Whitmer. Hopefully he's not a deep fake.
That'd be great. He's the made up guy.
This isn't real.
So if somebody knows Stephen Whitmer, you tell them Rob Kendall was very impressed with your door hanger and you should teach a class.
He got an A-plus from the Kendall and Casey
absolutely.
Show.
Yeah.
That's great. Good stuff. Glad I brought that in. Okay, let's talk about this. Pet bereavement policies. So a lot of companies now are considering allowing their employees to take time off when their pet passes.
So this is like if Fido has passed away, you would get a certain amount of paid days off to cope with
pet bereavement.
Okay, where are we at with this? I'll give this one to you first.
I think this is interesting because I actually, back in my management days, had an employee who asked for this very specific thing.
Oh, wow.
About 15 years ago. And the answer was, no, this is why you have PTO. You use time off for how you see fit.
It's kind of heartless.
Well, no. I mean, that's the policy of the company, right? You get X amount of days off, and you use these days for whatever you want, whether it's for your, you know, physical health, mental health, vacation days, a family member, whatever it is, pet bereavement. That's why it's all lumped into this one pool.
What about people bereavement? Is that part of it, too? The same thing, like, let's say it had been grandma that had passed away. Mm-hmm. Would you have said the same thing to them?
Well, I would have said that's a PTO day.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm with you on this. Business must be conducted. People need to be responsible with their days off.
Mm-hmm.
I do think, though, that should qualify, although I'm going to gather your company was kind of like, these are your days, you use them however you see
fit. Yeah.
So nothing special,
right?
But you're not going to ding somebody for taking a day off because they're dealing
with
the
loss. No, they can use it for whatever they want.
I think that's
why
great.
It's a personal time off. It's a PTO. Now, 62% of Americans do own pets, and of those 62, 97 consider them family. And it is a heartbreaking thing to go through when you have a pet that's been part of the family for years and years. And when they do, cross the rainbow bridge, pass on, it's very sad. So take the time off. But I don't know that you should expect companies to label it anything different than
that's a good point.
Just a PTO day.
You need to keep a couple days back for the unexpected events, sick days, whatever, and that would fall under that. I'm with you on that. I think I have nothing to add to this conversation, Casey. I feel you have articulated my position perfectly, and I will cede the rest of my time to you.
Okay. Do you want to talk about how they're saying that this year's hurricane season could be very destructive and costly? All of these different Weather Channel type places are making their predictions, and they have so far named 24 different storms this year.
Okay.
And that includes storms that have winds of 39 miles per hour or higher.
I can speak somewhat eloquently to this because I owned property for many years that was in the eye of hurricane season on the East Coast. And I will tell you, one of my great reprieves in life has been that I no longer own that property, because every year between about June and October, every time there would be some little dot on a map near Africa, I would then just watch the thing for days on end. And your whole life, Casey, hinges on whether something moves left or right. Mm-hmm. Does it go east or west? Does it go north or south? And then once it hits land, what does it do once it hits land? Owning property on the East Coast is a freaking nightmare. And I have no idea how those people go through it. Because, yes, we have tornadoes here. Mm-hmm. But the tornado, and they're severe, and they've obviously caused many, many terrible things to happen. And I'm not in any way underscoring that. However, from a mental health standpoint, the tornado just kind of pops up. Mm-hmm. And you have to be ready to be, you know, seek shelter and get into a bathroom or whatever. But in a weird way, your whole week is not ruined based on, oh my gosh, what if there's a tornado? For me, for about a decade, between June and October, every little dot that would pop up in the Atlantic Ocean and how it would move would ruin weeks at a time for me. And I'm so glad I don't have to deal with that anymore. I am so glad. Look at how happy I am now, Casey. Yeah. You think I'm bad now. You have no idea what I was like before.
So AccuWeather says that they have named between 20 and 25 storms. They expect anywhere from 8 to 12. Colorado State University, apparently they do this too, which is interesting that they're landlocked.
Yes.
But they've named 23 storms. They expect 11 hurricanes this year, with five of them being major. The Weather Channel named 24 storms. They predict 11 hurricanes, with six of them being major. And Tropical Storm Risk has named 23 storms. They predict 11 hurricanes, with five of them being major as well.
Here's the other major issue, in all seriousness, for the people that are in the eyes of these hurricanes, especially if you're an East Coast person or a Gulf Coast person, it is very, very hard to get flood insurance because of the expense, because of the likelihood. So I own that building for 11 years. We got hit with two major hurricanes during that time. And we were able to repair, because it wasn't a building people were actively going into. It housed a radio equipment, et cetera. We weren't quite holding ourselves to the standards that if someone lived there or were going to work there each day, that other people would. But you just, it's unaffordable because of the likelihood. So unless you have a property that's actually worth insuring, you're basically just kind of out there on your own as it relates to flood insurance. And then the cleanup from these floods, oh my gosh, even if you have insurance, the time it takes, most people just go actively on their own and just kind of do most of it on their own, because it takes forever, because obviously everybody's in the same boat and the insurance company is like drinking from a faucet. It is a nightmare to own property on the East Coast. And if you're going to buy, make sure you jack it up, like way up in the sky,
on
because the flood will find you.
So a major hurricane is one that has peak winds of 111 miles per hour or higher. And according to all of these different people, they expect that it will be a bad season in the Gulf of Mexico.
One other thing, and then we'll move off this. Though with the hurricanes, it's not always the wind, it's the rain. Because what will happen with a lot of these hurricanes, you'll see hurricanes. The two that did damage to us were ones. They weren't even... It was not like, oh, this is a Cat 5.
Right.
It's the rain gets in this circus. A weatherman's yelling at me right now going, get your words right. But it just sits. It will set over land. It will come landfall. It'll sit and it'll just spin. And it'll just be days. It'll just imagine the hardest rain you've ever experienced. And then just if that were just nonstop for 2 days.
Yep.
And that's what normally will get people in a lot of these hurricanes, especially on the East Coast. Is it's not the wind, it's the rain.
Well, and the downed trees that takes out the electricity for days. We do have your news and a couple more voicemails coming up from 93 WIBC.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com. and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Oh yeah, Kevin Bacon, he went back to that Payson High School where the Footloose was filmed.
It's kind of cool, right?
He went back for the school's final prom night. It was also the movie's 40th anniversary. He was invited to go back. I guess they're demolishing the school and rebuilding a new one. And so they invited him to go back for their prom.
I love that he did that.
Yeah.
That's great.
He talked about it.
Everybody. Wow, look at this place. place. Look at these people. It's so great to be here. Go Lions! Here we are with this beautiful, beautiful spot on.
Beautiful spot. So they had him sit down in a chair and he kind of did a little chair dance. He didn't actually dance in front of the crowd. He just kind of moved his feet around.
Do you think most of those kids knew who he was?
Right? Their parents were like, oh, you got to do this.
Yeah.
Get Kevin Bacon here.
He's 65. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, you know, how many people actually, because Kevin Bacon's like been in a bunch of movies, but has he in the modern era been in a bunch of like hip movies that kids would be?
Probably not.
You know, he wasn't in one of the Avengers or something, was he?
Right. Not that I know.
I don't even know what.
He's not a superhero.
I don't even know what movies kids go to anymore.
This is a phone call about Taylor Swift, and they're saying that you're right when you called her a Batman character.
Rob, I'm calling to let you know about Taylor Swift. You covered it, that your analogy to Batman is genius, because she's a Batman villain.
Yeah.
And South Park covered what the word you're looking for to describe her. She's a succubus. God bless you guys. Have a great Friday.
Okay, so her album came out. It's called The Tortured Poets Department.
Yeah.
And it
should be The Tortured Listener Department.
It broke
some records. That's what happens
records.
If you're going to be subjecting yourself. Well, but my point with all this is, in the Batman movies, the people are like humans. It's obviously they're humans, but they're a little off, like how they're not normal humans. Like the way they act, the way they laugh, the way they talk, it's not a normal human. I mean, clearly, and especially the early Batmans, it was very in touch with the comic book version of the character versus the kind of more gritty, you know, dirtier characters later. And there's something about the Taylor Swift thing where it's like she's not a real she is a real person, but there's something a little off about her, about the way she speaks and the way she interacts. And to me, she reminds me of one of the characters in those early Batman movies.
So her album, it made history on Spotify, over 300 million streams in a single day.
That many women hate men, huh?
I mean, there's also the most streamed single in a day.
That's amazing.
So there was a publication that gave her a bad review.
Oh, great.
And
who? Let me get a lifetime subscription. Who was it?
They're called Paste Magazine.
Oh.
And they gave the album a bad review, and they did not attach a byline who the writer of the review was.
Rob Kendall.
They did it anonymously because of all the hate that writers of bad reviews get from Swifties.
Think about that. It's such a cult that if you have the audacity, like whoever somebody's favorite artist is, whether your favorite artist is the Rolling Stones or Neil Young or Bruce Springsteen or Michael Jackson or whoever, there's always these albums where you're like, yeah, you know, I still love their music, but that was kind of a stinker. You know, that kind of wasn't his best work, or, you know, I really didn't think that captured it wasn't the level of the previous ones. You do that with her, you're right, Casey, you end up in witness protection. That's what a cult the whole Taylor Swift thing is. If you have the audacity to say, you know, that one didn't live up to previous albums, wasn't nearly as good, you know, probably just not going to be a memorable album, they will come for you.
So the magazine said, we care more about the safety of our staff than a name attached to an article.
That's pathetic.
The thing that I have, so this album is called The Tortured Poets Department.
Right.
How tortured are you when, even if you have a heartbreak or you're upset, she can fly off to her beach house.
Well, right.
And recoup there.
We've talked about this.
How tortured is she?
There comes with any artist, you have to have some sort of evolution where it's like the same things you were singing about when you were 23 or 24 years old. It's just, it becomes weird if you're still singing about those same things at 35, in her case, or 40 years old. It's like you have to evolve as a human, or if your life is not evolving to where eventually it's not all the man's fault. Like at some point it has to. Wouldn't that be a great album if the next album was all about how it's her fault?
So the review said the title track features some of Swift's worst lyricism to date.
Hey!
I feel like she also ripped that title from a Dead Poets Society.
Yeah,
movie.
I feel like that too as well.
That's what I think of.
Yeah, me too.
What is it? Paste Magazine?
Yeah. It's like you're going to go get a,
I'm gonna go, have to
go buy a copy of that magazine.
Absolutely. Put them front and center.
Yeah. Somebody wanted to call and make an editorial comment about our debt.
We are $38 trillion in debt. We have to do something so drastic that it makes up for that deficit. We can't be accepting little bites anymore. and this whole Marjorie Taylor Greene getting rid of the speaker is what we need to do. How can we take accept little bites anymore? It's way beyond that.
Okay.
Is it time for us to go?
It is. We've got to take a break.
I mean, we're not done with the show. I just mean we have to take a break.
We do have to take a break.
What are we talking about when we come back?
Oh, we're going to talk about that list of beers.
Oh, yeah. This is great.
Light
I love
beers
this.
From brew experts
yeah.
coming up.
Yeah.
It's 93 WIBC. At the golf course over the weekend, Rob, I'm sure you served one or two beers while you were there.
Yes, drinking is one of the favorite pastimes of people who play the golf. I've come to the conclusion that is to cope with their poor golfing skills.
Do you recall what brand you were serving the most of?
You know what's interesting is, and I was talking with my dad about this a couple weeks ago, how Bud Light, and a totally anecdotal, but I would assume we're not an anomaly, has never recovered.
Yeah.
And Miller Lite seems to have totally replaced Bud Light in terms of the beer. Now, some people do Coors, but for whatever reason, Miller Lite seems to be, at least where I work, the place that is the brand that has taken the business from Bud Light.
It's replaced Bud Light. Well, that's interesting because Miller Lite is on this list. Now, this was on study finds, and what they did is they gathered a bunch of different polls and studies and combined them into one list of the best Bud, the best light beers.
Yeah.
And this is according to beer experts. And I thought it might be kind of fun to review this list.
Hey, you know, real quick before we do that,
yeah.
I was going to ask you, do you even notice a difference in light beer? Because I don't, like, are you like, oh, I could never drink a Coors Light. It's just the taste is terrible. I don't hardly notice a taste in any of the kind of the mainstream domestic light beers. Do you?
Well, I do, but that's only because I drink dark beer.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the stout or the porter.
Right.
So, yeah, I definitely notice a difference when it's a light beer versus, you know, the peanut butter busted knuckle.
Because there are people out there who are like, well, I would never drink a Coors Light. I just don't like the taste of it. And to me, the Bud
Beer's
Light,
beer.
The Coors Light, the Miller Light. I mean, now you get into some of the premium light beers. Yeah, of course, there is a difference. It's a better beer, period.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to be very curious about this because I don't notice. I mean, I would. It's like whatever you have on tap. Fine,
right.
Great.
Whatever
cool.
you got, just give me a beer.
Right.
A beer's a beer. Well, according to Taste of Home, they have put Coors Light, which you mentioned, as the number one light beer.
Interesting.
102 calories, 5 carbs per can. And they say that it is crisp and it has the ability to quench your thirst and a touch more flavor complexity than others.
Isn't that because it's brewed in the Rockies?
Yeah.
Isn't that their thing?
And the can turns blue when it's cold, something like that.
You know, there was a time,
yeah.
My dad, because I remember as a kid having a Coors Light chest,
mm-hmm.
like a wooden chest,
mm-hmm.
and I remember asking my dad about that, and he said there was a time where getting Coors Light was a really big deal.
People would actually drive or fly
right.
to Colorado just for the beer.
And he was telling me, I guess, you know, he had a friend that went out there one time, and they brought the Coors Light
mm-hmm.
back,
mm-hmm.
and it came in that little chest, and I remember thinking about that as a kid, and now as an adult, that's so foreign, the idea of, you can only get this if you were to go to Colorado yourself.
Right. And you must really like that beer if you're going to go all the way to Colorado.
Not an issue anymore, but that...
Just
that,
for the beer.
Yeah, many people don't even realize that that once was a thing.
Okay, this next one on the list, I don't even recognize. And this comes from liquor.com, and they say that Night Shift Brewery Night Light
Ooh.
Craft Light Lager. Now, that's a mouthful,
that
huh?
is, yeah, if you got to say more than 3 words, you should be disqualified.
Yeah, like you're not going to belly up to the bar and order the Night Shift Brewery Night Light Craft Light Lager.
Yeah, if you got to write it down. Yeah.
Do you think the waitress will remember that? One more time, what was that?
If you got to transcribe your mm-hmm. order, I think it's probably a little much.
Now, a lot of people choose the light beer based on the calorie intake, and this one apparently has 120 calories. It's light and crisp and has a subtle touch of sweetness.
Oh.
And this
sounds like you.
Yeah, oh, a subtle touch. It's one of those craft brews which are more popular. Kona Light Blonde Ale is next on the list. And yes, as you might have guessed, this one hails from Hawaii.
So my question about this list, though, is it seems like they're lumping everything in together, which seems a little unfair. The craft beer
mm-hmm.
should be markedly better than a Coors Light because of the supposed
craftiness.
The supposed effort and care mm-hmm. and whatever mm-hmm. that goes into it. I thought we were talking about, hey, just here's your supermarket
brands
light beer. I'm already calling question to this whole list because I feel like we're doing sort of an apples to oranges type of comparison
here. It seems like it, right? Well, they say this is the epitome of light beer. It only has 99 calories and 4 carbs. It's great for indulgence. It's crisp, refreshing. Aren't they all crisp and refreshing?
Oh, my goodness, sure.
And with a subtle tropical twist because this one has a hint of mango
now,
in it.
Now, one of the ones we sell a lot of, and it's a premium beer, so I'm not trying to compare it to, you know, the Coors Light, the Miller Light, whatever, is the Michelob Ultra. Mm-hmm. We sell a lot of those, and I would assume that counts as a light beer because it's a low calorie
beer. That's the ultra of the light beers, at least according to them. Wide Open Eats says that the next one on the list is the best, and that is Miller Lite. Surprising depth of flavor that is apparently keep things interesting. Now, isn't this the king of beers, king of light beers? Tried and true. It's a favorite. It's been around for quite a while.
Yeah, but has anybody ever been like, man, give me some of that Miller Lite because it tastes so great?
I have a friend who every time he goes to the bar, he'll belly up and he'll say, please serve me up your finest Miller Lite.
Now, my question to you would be, if you're at a drinking establishment and they offer you a bottle or draft, mm-hmm. which one do you choose?
I'm going to go for the bottle.
Really?
Yeah, I think sometimes the draft gives me a headache.
Really?
Maybe it's from all those keg stands I did in college.
Absolutely. Yeah. Please tell me there's a video or a...
No, we didn't have the internet back
then.
That's
right.
Things weren't forever back then. You just have to take my word.
So you would take... You would take the bottle over the draft.
Yeah, I think so.
Interesting.
And finally on the list, they have Heineken Light, and Good Housekeeping says that this one has a hint of earthiness.
Oh.
And it adds a subtle layer of sophistication without the heaviness of a regular beer. Of course, I believe Heineken is going to cost you just a little bit
more
because it's not a domestic, right?
And man, the price of beer is like the price of everything else. It is just skyrocketed.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, it used to be you could get a case of beer for a reasonable fee, and now it's like you better hoard onto those like gold because it's a $20 plus endeavor now to get a case of beer.
You must really want a beer. So of Heineken Light, they say refreshingly crisp finish and lively carbonation.
Here's what I've started doing, Casey.
Yeah.
And this is how inflation has worked. So like I was in the we talked about this the other, the price of soda,
mm-hmm.
like name brand soda.
Yeah.
I mean, it was $2.62 for a 2 liter of Sprite at the Walmart the other
day.
Right,
they used to be 99 cents.
And so what I have started doing, because I am the mixed drink fan, as I mm-hmm. think you're aware of, is I have started buying the off-brand soda to mix with the alcohol of my choosing.
So you're doing what, like RC Cola?
Yeah, well, not even that, because that's expensive. No, that's it'd be the Walmart or the Kroger or the whatever. So I went to Kroger the other day, and they had the Kroger brand sodas were $1.25 each. So I'm saying, okay, if I'm basically drinking to enjoy the alcohol anyway,
mm-hmm.
Then what difference does it make what the soda is?
Right.
So now I've started buying soda for my mixed drinks. And you think about if I bought two liters, which I did, and they were $1.25 each, that's $2.50, it would have been $5.25.
Just for the mixer.
Just for the mixer.
Mm-hmm.
So I saved, you know, $2.75 or whatever doing that. But man, that sucks that in America you got to make those sort of choices.
Are you noticing a difference in the taste?
No, not really. No, that's my point.
You're not buying top shelf liquor anyway.
No. A little Svedka and some Kroger Cola,
uh-huh.
and for about combined, I sometimes I'll do this. I'll do the math on what the drink will actually cost me to make it at home.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm thinking like for, hey, $1.25.
Yeah.
You got a pretty decent little buzz going on to enjoy the evening.
Now, you know that I'm a big fan of the box wine.
Oh, yeah.
That's how I've saved money. But when I'm ready to splurge and go out, I like the peanut butter busted knuckle stout, which is available at the Big Woods and Speedway.
I was going to say, you probably got to go somewhere pretty specific for mm-hmm. that. You can't, you probably could not just roll into Moe's Tavern.
No, order that. Yeah. That's definitely a specific drink. Of course, we'd like to know what your favorite beer brand is. us and call us on the voicemail line, 317-684-8444. Tell us what you're drinking and why. Now, we're speaking of beer.
Yeah.
So I thought this might be a good time to give everybody an update on Morgan Wallen.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he had that recent arrest after he was throwing chairs off that balcony. He found out that his former love got married and he couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
He was arrested on April 7th and he finally took to social media.
Yeah, I saw that he claimed that he had reached out to the people that he affected first, and then now I'm apologizing to my fans.
Yeah, so he's going through the three-step process, is that right? He said, I needed to take a moment to make things right with the people I've affected. I've reached out to the Nashville law enforcement, my family, and the folks at Chiefs. I'm deeply disappointed in my behavior, and I'm ready to face the consequences. I hold immense respect for the officers who tirelessly keep us safe. As for my tour, there will be no changes. So he's ready to face the consequences, yet still roll in the paper because he's still going to get on stage and sing a song.
All right, Casey, it's time for us to go home.
All right, thank you, Rob. Thank you, Kevin. And thank you for listening today. This has been Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.